At one time in our nation, it was illegal in many towns to sell liquor. But times changed, and with them laws changed. There was a small town in which a bar opened. So the churches in that town got together and had several all-night prayer meetings. They asked God to burn that bar down. And a week later, lightning struck the bar, and it burned to the ground. The bar owner sued the churches for damages. His attorney claimed that the church's prayers had destroyed the bar owner's business. Surprisingly, the churches hired a lawyer and fought the charges. After much deliberation, the judge declared, "It is the opinion of this court that wherever the guilt may lie, the bar owner is the one who really believes in prayer, while the church members do not." What do you believe about the power of prayer? Do you think of prayer as an offering of our heart to God? Among several places in Scripture, prayer as an offering to God is urged. And one of those places is James chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. There, the power of God and the relationships involved are revealed. James writes, "Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? He should sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call on the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven." I think it's well to remember that James is writing to Christians. These are people who have a relationship to God through their faith in Christ Jesus, God's self-sacrificing Son. The criteria in offering prayer to God their Father is faith. Faith in God's love for them and faith in God's ability to overcome all of their problems, no matter what the problem was. So the prayer offered in faith to God is the prayer which brings results from God. If we were to look at James chapter 1 and verses 5 through 8, we would find that we must have faith in God when we ask anything of Him. So prayer has no value without our faith in God. It is our faith in God when we offer a prayer to Him which makes it a gift. We are offering to God the gift of our prayer. We give honor when we ask Him to do something which is beyond human ability, something that is big, something that's important, something that's necessary, and all of it within the will of God. When our prayers are offered in faith, we give God our belief in who He is. We give God our belief in His promises. We give God our belief in His hearing of our prayers. We give God our belief in His care about our concerns. We give God our faith in Him about His power to answer our prayers. We give God our faith in His wisdom about how and when He will answer. And we give God our faith in His superior love of us. We give God the glory that is due Him as we do this. James testifies that through prayer, which we and fellow Christians offer to God in faith. God will help us with our troubles, that he will bring us health, and that he will forgive our sins. Do you believe that? That's something that each of us has to really ask ourselves. Do I believe that? Do I believe that God will indeed help me with my troubles? Do I believe that God will bring me health? Do I believe that God will in fact forgive my sins? Do you offer prayers to God in faith that God will do all of these for you, for others? Which of those do you not have faith that God will do? And why? Do you offer prayers to God on the basis of your faith in his presence and his love and his power? The things that we read about within the scriptures? Or do you offer prayers to God on a baseless hope that he might hear you and that if he hears you, he might do what you've asked? James based his faith on what he had heard, on what he had seen, and what Jesus had promised him. So he writes again here in James chapter 5 and verses 16 through 18. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. California could use a man like Elijah. Amen? Or men and women like that, who pray earnest prayers in full faith that God can do what we cannot and what we cannot imagine God could do. Prayers offered in faith reflect our relationship to God. But James impresses that we're part of a spiritual family. Our relationship with our spiritual family builds our faith in that spiritual family. So we entrust ourselves, we confess our faults, our sins one to another because we trust one another. And so we, along with our fellow Christians, offer huge, earnest prayers in full faith that God will answer them. Do we pray like that when we think about brothers and sisters who are struggling with physical health or emotional health or spiritual health? Do we pray in all faith that God will actually do something significant within that person's life? Do we pray that for ourselves? Alexander the Great saw a woman that he wanted to marry. And her father agreed to give the woman to Alexander in exchange for a huge sum of money. Alexander agreed. And he told the man to request his treasurer to give him that amount. And when the father did, the treasurer went to Alexander. He argued with Alexander that even a small fraction of the money that the man requested would more than serve the purpose. And Alexander replied, "No, let him have it all. I like that fellow. He does me honor. He treats me like a king. And he proves by what he asks that he believes me to be both rich and generous." In the same way, shouldn't we go to our gracious God and present requests which show our honor of our king's love, of his riches, and his power?
Includes his emphasis on
prayers offered in faith to God by asserting their spiritual values. He wrote in chapter 5 again of James and verses 19 and 20, "My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins." Prayers offered in faith to God are great equalizers among Christians. Whatever else you and I may have or may not have to offer to God, our prayers can have equally great value. We need to know that. We need to believe that. We need to act on that. If we conform the content of our prayers to God's directions in the Bible, and if we offer faith-filled, earnest prayers which seek to serve God's purposes, and if we become righteous people, people who are living sacrifices to God, who are transformed to His thinking, then God will hear and will answer our prayers. And within each one of us, we need to say a strong, unequivocal amen. If you believe you can offer nothing in God's service, and there are many of us here who believe that, aren't there? If you believe you can offer nothing in God's service, you can offer to Him one of the greatest services, and that is your faith-filled, earnest, and righteous prayers. There is so much which we can and which we must pray about. So many things which require God's power to achieve His purposes and His plans among us. Just think for a moment about some of the things that require our prayers and God's actions. We need to pray for God's guidance and wisdom for our elders and for our congregation, don't we? We need to pray for the physically, the mentally, and the spiritually ill among us. We have many folks in our membership who are not here for a variety of reasons, legitimate and some questionable. We need to be praying for those folks. We need to pray for God to provide every resource that He knows we need to accomplish all of His will through this congregation and to His glory. We need to pray for God to instill an endless zeal among us so that we can joyfully and continually share our faith with every person who comes our way. We need to pray for God to enlarge our vision of how He can use us personally and congregationally. We need to pray for God to focus us on the things of first importance spiritually so that we are fully united in thought and direction as a congregation in God's service. We need to pray for God to help us pray continually and not ever lose faith in Him. And how many other things do we need to pray continually about, fervently about, with faith-filled prayers as people who are devoted to God? Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5 urges Christians, "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name." Our prayers are a valid offering of ourselves to God. They're a valid offering of our honor to God. They're a valid offer of our devotion to God. They're a valid offer of our expectations that God will do exactly what He has promised to do and more than we can possibly imagine. So when we praise God, we're offering a gift to God. When we glorify what God does in our world, we're offering a gift to God. When we pray in faith to God, we're offering a gift to God. When we confess publicly that we believe Jesus is God's Son, that he's our Savior and the ruler of our life, we are offering a gift to him. So the question is, what gifts are you offering to God? Can we help you with the gifts that you're not offering? Can we help you to offer those gifts with greater continuity? Can we help you in any way as God is helping us in every way? If there is a way that we can be of help, we urge you to come forward right now as we stand and sing this song.